Please pray with me. Dear Lord, please give me a fitting and pleasant manner of speech so that my conversations may be pleasing to you and to those who hear it, for Jesus' sake and for my eternal welfare. Amen. Amen. Today's portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount shifts from Jesus telling us who is blessed and that we are the salt and light of the world to Jesus getting very personal and specific about what we will be judged for over and above what is in the Ten Commandments. Here, Jesus tells us that we don't get to the really big sins without committing what we would call lesser sins. For example, in verse 21, Jesus focuses on this big sin: whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. And then in verse 22, Jesus focuses on our little everyday sins. I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. People don't murder someone they're happy with. People murder someone they are angry with. Which means society has a real problem because people always seem to be angry with someone or something, and that's not healthy. And don't think America is first when it comes to being angry, because the British and other countries also seem to be getting angrier. But let's put America first. Why are Americans so angry? Dr. Saidi in Psychology Today's article, she shows a picture of a 4 or 5 year old boy at a ball game yelling and giving the finger to someone, wrote this: "We are quick to jump to action without careful examination of all the facts. We feel wronged, threatened, insulted, and find experiences in our environment that confirm this." If you want to feel insulted, there are numerous ways to ensure this does in fact happen to you. We are a nation where many of our citizens are overworked, exhausted, financially strapped, alienated, and disconnected. We clock in and day out, and very often are left feeling unappreciated and uninspired. Of course we would be upset, agitated, and angry. But why are the British angry? I thought it would be easy to find a concise reason about why the British are angry, like I did with about why Americans are angry. But it wasn't so easy. Fortunately, after reading several articles containing lists of anger issues in Britain, the Daily Mail News finally gave me this concise answer, complete with a Fawlty Towers reference, as to why they call Britain the angriest country in Europe. We have to deal with endless traffic jams, rude service, and people swearing loudly in public. And when we want to complain about anything, we are inevitably put through to a foreign call center. After reading about anger issues around the world, I'm really surprised things aren't worse than they are. And it is difficult for us as followers of Jesus Christ to hear that we will be judged for being angry should we not reconcile. Even though reconciliation is hard work, it is necessary if we want to avoid murdering someone or murdering the joy we are supposed to have in our lives. This story from a village in Sicily shows the very devastating effects of unreconciled anger. Every day, a very old woman with a cane struggled up a steep road to the local cemetery. The villagers said that her daily tortoise-paced walk from her home to the cemetery and back took about 6 hours. What grief inspired her difficult daily walk? Was she driven by sorrow over a departed child or a deceased husband? No. The villagers say the old woman was driven by bitter hatred. Her archenemy was buried in that cemetery. So rain or shine, the old woman walked up the hill every day to her enemy's gravesite just to spit on it one more time. The old woman chose to live a life filled with bitterness and anger. However, we don't have to be angry. We choose to be angry, and we choose to hold on to our anger. To test this theory, which was much easier thanks to modern technology, I searched for the word anger and angry in a book I'm currently reading. It's called Great Speeches by African Americans by James Daly. Many of these orators who lived from the late 1700s to the present had so much to be angry about, and yet the word anger was not in a single speech. And angry was only used three times. We used twice by Frederick Douglass and once by John Sweat Rock, who wrote, "For how can he kill who dares not be angry?" In light of the angry, bitter woman from Sicily, in light of the fact that passionate, persuasive speeches from African Americans who presented their cases to open the doors of justice mentioned love many more times than anger and twice as often as hate, and in light of Jesus' warning, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment, what can we learn? What can we learn? From the old woman, we learn a lifetime of angry bitterness is always noticeable, and it is always optional. From the great orators, we learn that the love that exists within us will always overcome the anger and the hate that exists outside of us when we let love instead of anger guide us. And from Jesus, we learn that living a life of being a follower of him means there's no room for anger, which is why he tells us to seek out those who are angry with us and be reconciled with them before we come to the altar of grace, mercy, and peace to offer the gifts of our lives, our labor, and our love to the Lord. To help us reduce our anger and get to a point of reconciliation, Holy Scripture is far from silent. And here are just three of the many helpful scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools." Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Proverbs 19:11 says, "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense." A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. And from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 26, we are told, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." And now let us pray this prayer from Thomas A. Kempis. "Take from our hearts, O Lord, all suspicion, anger, wrath, contention, and whatever else may injure or lessen our love for each other. Have mercy, O Lord, on those who ask for your mercy. Give grace to those who need it, and make us people worthy to enjoy your favor and gain eternal life. Amen." With whom do you need to seek reconciliation before you offer the gifts of your life, labor, and love to the Lord? We will now have a moment of silence.